Blog Talk Radio.
Her genre is crime. Her media is mobile. Marsha Lyons is next on How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. It's Thursday, August 21st, and once again, we are coming to you live from Los Angeles. Don't want to brag, but it is a gorgeous azure blue sky day here in Los Angeles, so thank you so much for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you, so please call in live to listen or ask questions at 714-242-5248, and you can also email us at goodvibeproductions@gmail.com. That number, once again, to call in today is 714-242-5248. And we have another wonderful show for you today. My guest is an American performance artist, director, and writer whose focus is on character-driven storytelling. I love that. That's so rare these days. Migrating between scalable digital forms and mainstream TV, film, and commercials, her international globetrotting has expanded her creative vision and led to a collaboration with filmmaker Peter Jackson. And she's an award-winning, talented woman. She's the recipient of the Rome Prize and was awarded the CIRI Scholar Doctorate in Transmedia from Auckland University of Technology. So please give a warm welcome to one talented lady, Marsha Lyons. Hi, Marsha.
Well, hi. How are you going?
I'm good, huh? I know, it's hard to believe that all that I said, it's you, right?
I know.
You sound good, right?
Is this me you're talking about? Yeah, I sound good.
You didn't
sound
know how
brilliant.
Good you
sound.
Well, you are. I mean, let's face it. You are. You have an interesting spin on your craft as a performance artist. And I was just reading a little bio about you that your film mentors include Mike Figgis, Sam Shepard, Lars von Trier, and Catherine Brial. And I find it fascinating that the latter of the two have something in common, that they both started or decided to get into their craft at the ages of 11 and 12, respectively. So at what age did you decide to pursue yours?
As a kid, I was always playing movies. And I had voices in my head and characters that I would act out, and I, you know, would speak into a microphone. And, you know, as a writer, I see movies in my head now. So it happened pretty young. I was making stories up, writing books when I was really little. And then I moved into performance art as I got older and went to school and, you know, was trained with some amazing, amazing people. I've had some really brilliant, you know, and very generous mentors all throughout my life.
I think that's so important and for today in any craft that you have, and I think it's sorely missing that there aren't a lot of people who are willing to share their craft with others, because you can learn so much. It's the school of life that they teach you that you don't necessarily learn in a university. You know, it's just...
Right. And a personal voice kind of gets shut down by academic or methodology and, you know, kind of a bookish way of approaching things. So I always gravitated toward people who were living it, you know, and so I learned through experience more than in school. Although, you know, I've gone as far as you can go.
As far as you can go.
Yeah, I'm done.
Well, now comes the life lessons. I don't know if you've ever read the book by Napoleon Hill called Think and Grow Rich, but I happen to
I love
be reading.
That title.
Okay, so Napoleon Hill talks about knowledge, the two categories of knowledge, creative knowledge, specified knowledge, and knowledge that you learn at school. You know, like 2 + 2 = 4, or how many who sewed the flag during the colonies, all that kind of knowledge, and what's in his view, what is wrong with education today is that no one teaches you how to take that knowledge and move it into what you want to pursue.
Yes. I think that no one can take away from you anything that you put into your mind, you know, which is, you know, what he's talking about being rich. But then in life, you know, to get that back out, you know, it's like you can read and read and read, and then, you know, when you start writing, when you take action into, you know, a creative process, then, you know, it's sort of your identity comes through, you know. So that's kind of, you know, what I'm doing. I'm like evolving. I'm one big work in progress.
Well, that's beautiful. But that's what it. I don't think we ever stop learning. That's what it should be. You know, in the opening of the show, I mentioned that your genre is crime and your media is mobile, and you mentioned that we are pattern tracking beings. Can you define what that is?
Well, in transmedia is really parallel and nonlinear plots, like layering of events and, you know, in real time, like a continuous flow that is always updating with the most current information. But basically, what I'm talking about is that, you know, we are engaged either passively or actively ourselves in all these events that are going on around the world. They're affecting us. And so my, you know, way of working is really to consider why things now appear as they are, if they're always changing. You know, that you know, question is always updating. So my desire as a writer, character writer, is to keep the information moving along, keep the plot moving along, but it's in direct conflict with a complex set of circumstances, you know, for instance, as a writer-director, that keep intervening into the storylines that are constantly changing. So consequently, I carry a camera with me wherever I go. I'm, you know, like a drive-by shooter. I work fast. I'm
in a good way.
In a good way. I'm not the criminal, but I'm very interested in the crime.
Yeah, very, exactly. So you kind of capture the in-between moment, or the moment, or people in the moment, that which is was fascinating. I think, which is something people don't see. It sounds as if you're present in life, and so by being present, you get to see what's really going on. That life is, in my opinion, a film. You know, it's a movie.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You have it. Yeah, you nailed it.
I nailed it. We have a winner on aisle 9. is there a prize? Do I get a bonus round? Let's go to the bonus round.
I'm checking that box.
Yes, check it back. Yeah, you recently did a beautiful, and correct me, I don't want to get the term wrong, but a website for a young fashion designer, where you photographed her in the desert.
On the street. Oh, in the desert. Yeah. She's my muse. Yeah, it's, you know, XXDB. I love Davis.
Yes, exactly.
I picked her up in a coffee shop and drove her to White Sands Desert, and, you know, she just went right along with me. I work with people who are non-professional actors on really extreme site locations. Like in this case, it was the desert, but I've worked, you know, on the ice, in the deep sea, and on the desert. Those sort of are my mantras for an environmental cinematic, you know, one character against, circumstances. So she went along. She has this fantastic mouth and great body, and she looks great on film. She's going to love
me saying
this.
She does. It was like a 2-minute film. The filmmaker, what is your message or your emotional, your emotional message that you want to convey to the viewer on something
like
that?
In that situation, there's actually a script, and I call these graphic novel scripts, which is sort of a pun and a play on, graphic movies and graphic novels or character-driven, image-based storytelling. And in this case, her scene is influenced by Woman in the Dunes, except, you know, she is found dead, you know, although, you know, in the storyline you don't know that because she's narrating. She's already dead, but it doesn't matter that she's dead because she's telling the story. So in that scene, you know, she's in the desert. She's, you know, aware that she's dying or near death or has died, and she's talking herself. She's trying to get out of her circumstances, out of the situation. So the language starts to develop kind of like an endurance piece. It's kind of like poetry, you know, free association. So all this language starts to come out while she tries to figure out which direction she's going. And, of course, there's no way out. It's the Sisyphus myth, pushing the boulder up the hill that keeps falling down. You can't get out of this sand situation. So, mm-hmm. I was really influenced by this 1964 film, Woman in the Dunes. But, I turned it into a transmedia project, which was participatory in that I plotted the plots on Google Earth, and then people would go in and, you know, each plot point would take you to the next plot point. So it could unfold, you know, in lots of different ways. So the beginning, middle, and end were variable. And that, you know, I called an algo cinematic piece. And, you know, these are kind of story spaces in unstable territories. That's sort of how I think about it. But it's also participatory viewing. So the viewer is, you know, really knitting together the storyline with me, along with me, and based on the location that they travel from.
I love the fact that you don't neatly tie it up, that it's that the viewer, like you said, is participating in the story, and you've set a mood, and you have your own storyline, but it's the viewer's own interpretation of that story. It's kind of bittersweet, a little salt and pepper. It was, for me, seeing the freedom of somebody running on these sand dunes, but yet there was a sadness or a feeling about it.
No.
I don't know. And no. I think that's beautiful because you can interpret, you get to play along, like you say, with your work. And as you probably know, we buy based on our emotional experience. So
right.
Advertisers tap into our emotions.
Right.
And so I think that's just so beautiful that you have your own message, your own style, and you stick with that. You are who you are. That takes courage to do.
Thank you.
In any field, and I think you get an Oscar. I'm going to give you an Oscar.
Okay.
So you can practice, right? You got to practice getting your award, so that when you actually get it, you're confident, you feel okay, and your acceptance speech is short.
Exactly. You don't say, you really like me, you really like me.
Of course we like you. You won. Hello. We chose you. You're the winner. Of course we love you. Hello. That's how it does. You know, we have a caller here, so let's see if our caller wants to play and ask a question of our guest, Marsha Lyons.
Okay, great.
Hello, you're on the line with Marsha Lyons. Do you have a question? I guess not. That's okay. Sometimes people just enjoy the listen and don't want to ask a question, so we welcome all kinds of listeners. Let me give out that number again. If you'd like to listen live, like this person has, or ask a question of Marsha, you can call 714-242-5248, or you can also email us at goodvibeproductions@gmail.com. We're on the line with the talented Marsha Lyons. Okay, so here's a good question for you. On your creative bucket list, what have you yet to explore?
Okay, well, you know, I'm in the process of writing 3 scripts for mainstream audiences as well. And one that I would love to get made, and it's being read right now, but is a contemporary adaptation of Alfred Hitchcock's film Marnie. And so I'm working on that. I think it's fascinating to bring scripts up to the, older scripts up to a contemporary, context. And I just think it has everything, that I'm trying to do, this Marnie, is it a detective story, a sex mystery, a wicked attraction, a love story, or a suspense thriller? Yes.
Exactly. That's correct. It's all of those things.
Yeah. So, in mine, I'm going back to the original novel by Winston Graham, which is really based in the UK, in London. And so I'm really going back through the original novel, and I'm bringing these characters forward. And I've already fantasized that Clive Owen is going to play, Mark, and, Michelle Williams or Abby Cornish will play Marnie.
That's great. Well, that's great. You already have it in your head. The creative process is so different for everyone, and you often hear people say, well, I didn't get lucky today. Nothing came to me. How do you begin your own creative process in writing? What do you do?
Well, like some of the people I've been influenced by, I write every day. I'm writing everything down. And writing and directing was something I could wrap my head around as a way to control my own destiny. And it was a natural progression between, directing, writing, acting out in performance art to a kind of a, almost like scripts, script writing approach. So I hear dialogue. I'm speaking dialogue in my head. I'm picking up dialogue from everybody around me, everything around me. I'm hanging out in cafes, and I'm listening. And I try to do this every day, every night. I'm watching everything. Like I'm watching movies. I'm watching television. I'm reading at the same time. I'm online. So all of that is influencing me and my language. And anything that sort of hits me, there's a ping. It's hard to describe, but there's something that you just get in your gut, and you just know that's part of your language, and it starts to come through. I started writing a series of, it's like a narration in the first and third person, character voices speaking like as in one act. And it's called Pussy Roo and Fishy Stories. And I just started writing these short clips, basically, because I sort of think in cuts anyway. And most of it is true, but I've altered it and, changed it so that, you know, nobody would really recognize who it's about, hopefully.
We do tend to leak out, though, in which we tend to say wear a veil and feel that many people will not be able to see who we are out into the world, but they do, because we do leak out, which is lovely, and that's what you as a writer gets to see in everybody,
right,
and everything.
I love that. I'm going to write that down.
You can take it.
We leak out.
We do. And it's just so fascinating, this little conversation of how you get creative, and it's about the being of it. You're doing something, but it's about the being of it. You're as I like to see it, we're human beings, not human doings. So we're not in this world, but we're of it. So everything around us, like I mentioned earlier, is a movie. So we're the we're like looking inside a fishbowl. We're the on the outside of the fishbowl, looking in. And I have to quote my wonderful yoga teacher. She just said that today. But that's what it is. We're not in it, but we get to see every little component of the story. And because you can read people's faces, their emotions, it's fascinating. And most people are not awake. They're asleep. And you are alive. You're awake. You're in your craft daily. So there's not a moment of, oh, God, I've got to sit down and write today. It just happens and it flows. And it's not always easy to do, but it's simple.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It just becomes something that you do, just like brushing your teeth or getting your clothes ready or, you know, putting gas in the car. I mean, I just sort of carry around a notebook with me. I always have, really. But I couldn't quite put it together until, you know, more recently, how all this made sense. You know, they were in compartments. Like, my writing was over here, you know, painting was over here, you know, performance art was over here, you know, so teaching was one thing, as if you were that in those situations instead of bringing it all together. So now I think it's coming together in such a way that, you know, I can bring it out there now.
Wonderful. Well, we must have touched on something very interesting in the past few minutes. We have another caller, so let's go to our caller. Hello. You're on the line with Marcia Lyons.
Marcia, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Who are your biggest influences as an artist?
Lauren mentioned a couple, especially the film side. Mike Figgis is a huge influence on me, his movie Time Code. Sam Shepard, his play Tongues. I have bumped into, moved around his works, you know, since the 1980s. Lars von Trier is so brave. I think his movie Nymphomaniac is just fantastic. It's like a Bataille novel. And Catherine Breillat, because she really brings the body into, and a feminist or a female actively sexual and vibrant narrative that I think is really interesting. So on the film side, you know, these people especially, I studied a little, you know, I've never really studied writing, but I studied a little bit with Chris Krause. She wrote I Love Dick and Video Green, amazing, amazing work. I love her. And you know, these influencers are really people that I've spent time with, hung out with, bumped into, keep bumping into, and somehow linger in my mind. So I think, you know, those people. So my influences are kind of neo-noir, which is kind of dark, but updated dark. And
I like that. I'm going to hold that phrase, updated dark.
Yeah. And contemporary pop, you know, pop culture, I just love, adore, and pulp. So, you know, I'm really influenced by Pulp Fiction as well, because it's a nonlinear, you know, character-driven piece that the characters really aren't talking about the narrative of the movie, but they're working with other narratives at the same time that are just, you know, so interesting and alive. So, yeah, so I think that pretty much covers it.
you also mentioned Jorge Luis Borges' book, The Book of Sand.
Yeah. A friend of mine turned me on to, you know, Loris, and I really like The Book of Sand. The letters shift in position each time the book is closed. That idea resonates with where my sources also change and move, and, you know, kind of the electronic text, words and images all filter through, you know, a kind of a real-time tap. So it's like you can tap into some interesting things that feels like traveling. I think you mentioned that, you know, I've traveled a lot. I travel almost like an intrepid traveler, like I'm itinerant. I've been to 10 countries. I've lived in 5 countries. I put myself in environments that really create, you know, a situation where I'm the, you know, the main character trying to figure things out in another culture. So that also tends to influence the way that I work.
That's great. You just, you know, you become one with them. You're
yeah, or you transplant yourself into a completely different territory. And you're unstable in the process because everything's unfamiliar to you. So when I was living in the UK, everything was different. You know, everything was on the other side of the road, and everybody was speaking English, but nobody was speaking American English. They didn't like Americans. I'm sure you're going to get a lot of callers on that one. But, you know, a lot of the countries speak English, but we don't really understand what's going on culturally. It just sort of on the surface, we think we do because we're, you know, American. We
yeah.
think we know, but we don't know. So I wanted to put myself in that unstable situation to really try to figure out where I sat, where my work was really coming from, and get it out of, you know, situations that felt like I was being told how to work and to do things.
Well, you're fortunate that you have that freedom to work the way you choose and not be dictated by someone else to tell a story the way they want the story to be told, that you have that creative freedom.
Right. Well, you know, I pretty much write and direct and make my own films, but, you know, you sort of have to do that. You have to have your own vehicle to get yourself into the process. Access, especially in Hollywood, for example, is really hard to get unless you're born here, you know, and you come from a Hollywood background. So it's like moving to a foreign country. You really have to, you know, create something on your own.
But I think that's where we kind of get stuck. We're looking for others to create. You want to be in that mix where we can do it ourselves, and I think a lot of people are tentative to do so because they don't know what to do. So it's just in the doing of a project that the help that you need will come. You're going to have to put the cart before the horse a little bit, and that's not always easy for people. You got to be a little vulnerable, in my opinion, because that's where all the magic lies. The solutions and creative ideas kind of just hang out there waiting for you.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And you know, I'm as vulnerable as it gets in certain situations, and then suddenly things start to present themselves and unfold, and yeah, you sort of have to have a leap of faith. And you know, if I could do something else, I would.
You know, you were born to do this, Marcia. You were born to be this auteur, and I don't know where the time has gone, but it has thoroughly gone. You are fascinating, and it's been just a lovely 30 minutes of getting to know more about you and your craft and creativity. So I'm going to give out your website so people can contact you and learn more about you at marcialyons.org. That's MarciaLyons.org. Marcia, I want to thank you so much for coming and playing with me today on the radio show. And
keep
us posted
on
everything that you.
I will. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're my pleasure. My pleasure. Once again, we have been chatting with Marcia Lyons. And if you'd like to hear more or learn more about Marcia, you can go to her website at marcialyons.org, MarciaLyons.org. I'd like to thank our callers for calling in and participating with us on our show this week. So please join me next time for another wild and fascinating journey in someone else's shoes when my guest will be. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and I want to thank you so much for joining us today and listening to How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. We'll see you next time, and I hope you find comfort in your own shoes. I'm going to leave you with a wonderful piece of music called Flight of the Monarch by Keith Chagall. See you next time.